You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll be talking with the two candidates running for the open seat in Wisconsin's 19th Senate District.
Right now, we're continuing our series of forums with the candidates running for governor here in Wisconsin. Yesterday, we spoke to the third-party candidates in the race. Libertarian Robert Burke and Dennis Fehr of the People's Party joined us.
There are two other candidates in the race. You might have heard of them by now. We'll talk to one of them today. We offered Governor Scott Walker the opportunity to join us for a candidate forum. He was unable to accept. We turn now to the Democratic challenger in the race, Mary Burke. She's a former executive for Trek Bicycles and served as Commerce Secretary under Governor Jim Doyle's administration.
She joins us in our Madison studios now. Mary, thanks for being here today.
Well, Veronica and Rob, it's great to be here and great to be with your listeners.
Mary, we've talked a lot about your campaign in the last 6 months or so on the show, but this is our first time getting a chance to talk with you. So let's hear it from you directly. Why are you running for governor of Wisconsin?
I'm concerned about the direction that we're headed, and I'm a fourth-generation Wisconsinite. I know Wisconsin has everything that we need to be a thriving, growing leader in this country in terms of our economy, our education system, and the path that we're on right now makes me feel like if we have four more years of Governor Walker, I'm not going to recognize the state that I know and that I love so deeply. And so I'm going to use the business experience that I have along with the education experience to lead Wisconsin in a way that puts the divisiveness aside. It does not have to be the way that it has been. And that tone, it gets set by the governor. And so I believe in finding common ground, bringing people together, focusing on ideas that are going to work. I don't care if they're Democratic or Republican ideas, just whether they're going to get results here. And I have been in this race for about a year, and I get more and more excited every single day that I'm out there about the potential, the incredible potential that we have in this state.
Now, the latest poll suggests that the race is a dead heat between yourself and Governor Walker. As you said, Wisconsin is a polarized state right now politically, and Governor Walker has made controversial decisions during his time in office. So given that, there are people who are not so much saying they'll support Mary Burke, but rather the candidate who isn't Scott Walker. So how do you get people excited about Mary Burke, the candidate, and as a result, get them to the polls?
The more people get to know me and how I would lead the state forward, my background and what I have done in my career and the values that I hold, people get more and more excited. And what I talk about every day as I am out on the campaign trail are some pretty simple concepts. They're about making sure that everyone has a fair shot to get ahead as long as they're prepared to do the hard work. And what we are seeing is that more and more families are being stretched. They're being squeezed. And recent data shows that the typical Wisconsin family actually lost nearly $3,000 in their income over the last 4 years. And so we know people are working harder than ever, but feeling like they have less and less to show for it. So a fair shot means about having great, affordable public education, starting with kindergarten, going all the way through university. I want to invest in our schools, not cut them like Governor Walker has. I want to make higher education more affordable. It shouldn't be the size of your family's pocketbook that determines whether you attend and earn a degree, whether it's from technical college or from university. It should be about your dreams and your hard work. And a fair shot means a growing economy that is producing more good paying jobs. It also means having small businesses that are starting and growing. And it means increasing the minimum wage. So there are a lot of things that we need to put in place, that we can put in place. And I know that when everyone has that opportunity and the supports to build that successful life, that's how our society benefits as well. And so that's what I talk to people about every day. And it is common sense, but unfortunately, it's not happening a lot. And what we have seen under Governor Walker is he has given tax breaks to those at the top while leaving 41,000 people on the wait list for need-based financial assistance for technical colleges and universities. So to leave 41,000 people on the wait list for financial aid and give tax breaks to those at the top, frankly, doesn't do what is necessary to grow our economy. Our economy will grow.
Let's zoom in on jobs.
Sure.
We've been talking about that a bit, which is easily election issue number one. Now, you've taken some criticism for your jobs plan and where the content of some of it comes from. Can you start by addressing that?
I've been straight from the start, is that my jobs plan is about the best ideas that are going to make sure that Wisconsin has a thriving economy.
But in terms of allegations of content of some of it being drawn from other sources, other candidates in different states.
Sure. The fact is that in drawing great ideas from all over the country, I did use a consultant that works on public policy, and that he took similar language of his own language that he used in other plans. And he shouldn't have done that. And that's why we cut ties with them. And any of the other things that were cited are ones where actually they are cited in the plan and attributed.
And on a related note, let's talk about getting people back to work. How do you do that? The specifics of your job plan. How do you get people who are looking for work back into a job?
There are a lot of things that go into it. There is not one simple thing, and that's why my jobs plan does lay out five core strategies to doing that. I'll just focus on a couple of them. First and foremost is around education and training, is that we have to make sure that people, when they are graduating from high school, are ready for the job market or to go to that next step, whether it's technical college or university. We have too many high school students who are not graduating with those skills or not graduating at all. And so I propose that we redefine high school to be that first step on a career path. We then have to make sure that higher education, whether it's technical college or university, is aligned with workforce needs, but also that it is affordable. Another area of that five core strategies is small business growth and startups. It actually is small business growth and new business startups that account for 70% of the jobs that are created. And right now, under Governor Walker, we're in the bottom five states in the entire country in terms of our new businesses started. So we have to increase the amount of access to capital that small businesses have to be able to start up and grow. That's a part of it. And you also have to create those type of mentoring support relationships, access to that type of skills that help small businesses overcome the challenges that they face. I started my own business when I was in my 20s. I know the challenges that entrepreneurs face, but I also know how to overcome those challenges and the opportunities that we have. And we have to change this around. We have to have a more entrepreneurial culture and more tools for entrepreneurs if we're going to succeed.
Right. And in that same vein, how would you go about that, making Wisconsin a place that was more desirable for entrepreneurs to come to start businesses in?
Capital is one of them. And there was a start to a venture fund, which would have made access to capital better. But the fact was, is they set it up with $25 million. Now, for statewide, $25 million is not going to move the needle. What it felt like to me is that was a box to check to say, as politicians, okay, we did that. Well, I'm a business person. I look at what you actually have to do to move the needle. Other states around us have $200 million venture funds and have actually seen a lot of results come from that. In addition, when that $25 million fund was set up, it excluded any investments, any financing or capital for life science companies. Well, that's actually a growing part of our economy. So again, putting politics before common sense. And you know what? That's not going to happen. When I'm governor, I'm going to put the common sense, I'm going to put ideas that work ahead of the politics.
Now, projections suggest that the next governor could face a budget shortfall. We don't know the extent of that yet. But on day one of being governor, should you be elected, what actions would you take to get the state's fiscal house in order?
I have a 30-year career, and through most of it, I've had to balance budgets. And so it is tough work. But the fact is, we got in this position because of the decisions that Governor Walker made. So he has taken a situation of a surplus, and one budget later turned it into a $1.8 billion deficit. He did this by two things. First, he spent money we don't have. So in this year alone, this fiscal year alone, we're spending $400 million more than we're taking in. And that's a projection of what we're taking in. The other reason is the state's economy is lagging. We're not even meeting our own forecast in terms of revenues coming in. And so unfortunately, by these decisions and what Governor Walker has done, we are facing a really tough budget going into the next budget cycle. So back to your question of what am I going to do is you got to go line item by line item through the budget, figure out what really needs to be spent, set priorities. I want to set priorities based on what impacts our economy, both in the short term and long term. And then you have to go through and figure out what you can't afford to do. In the long term, we have got to grow our economy, because if Wisconsin's economy had just grown at the same rate as the national economy, just kept pace with the rest of the country, our economy would be $4 billion a year bigger. $4 billion, that is money that gets spent in our communities and in our businesses. It's also additional tax base on which to invest in education and important infrastructure while reducing taxes and balancing your budget. So in the long term, the big issue we have here in Wisconsin, we got to be growing the economy.
Now, after his election, Governor Walker's answer to a budget shortfall was Act 10. It balanced the budget but launched a recall effort, and it increased political polarization to a level that the state hadn't seen before. As governor, would you repeal Act 10?
What I would do is to work to restore collective bargaining. And I have been straight from the start to saying, I think it was only fair to ask for contributions to health care and to pensions. That's what my guess is 99% of the people in the private sector face. But on the same time, we have to make sure that we are adequately paying people in the public sector, because it's important to be able to attract and keep good people in the public sector. I know from my experience as an executive with Trek Bicycle, an organization is only as good, only as effective as the people in it. And so whether we are hiring engineers or whether we're hiring IT people, I want to make sure we're able to attract and keep good people. So contributions to healthcare and to pensions, I think, are fair. But we also have to make sure that we are overall looking at compensation and saying we're adequately funding it.
We're talking right now with Mary Burke, Democratic candidate for governor of Wisconsin. If you've got a question for Mary or you're wondering where she stands on an issue, you can call us now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking now with Mary Burke, the Democratic candidate for governor of Wisconsin. And if you've got a question for her, you can join us now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@WPR.org. One quick programming note, we spoke to the two third-party candidates in the race, Dennis Fehr and Robert Burke, yesterday on the show. We also invited Governor Walker to appear on the program, but he was unable to join us. And we go now to our phones. We have Mitch with us from Madison. Hi, Mitch.
Hello. Mary, I wanted to ask if you had heard about the proposals from three Wisconsin utilities to increase the fixed fee on the charge on their bills, and if you support or oppose this regressive billing scheme.
Mitch, it's a good question and an important one. And I'm very concerned by the size of those increases. I understand the issue with regards to paying for the fixed infrastructure, the transmission that that all users need. But I also think that people invested in solar systems and that they did that with the expectation of what sort of charges or reductions in charges they would be able to save in terms of paying for those systems, and to sort of change the rules after this, I don't think is fair to consumers. So I think we have to make sure that we are able to keep a good infrastructure for energy transmission and generation if you're still on the grid, but also understand I'd like to see solar grow, and I am concerned that these sorts of rate increases will put a real damper on not only the existing solar but growing solar in Wisconsin.
Mitch, thank you so much for your call. And Mary, some of your Republican critics have suggested that a vote for you is a vote for Jim Doyle II. Now, you served as Commerce Secretary under Governor Doyle, so it may be fair for people to think you could pursue similar policies. Can you talk about what you do similarly to Jim Doyle and what you would do differently?
Well, I think that the Republican opponents I have, and Governor Walker seems to believe that they would rather be running against Jim Doyle than myself. But we're two very different people. I come at this from a business perspective. I've spent my career mainly in business. That's how I approach things. I don't think I don't look at ideas and say that's a Democratic or Republican idea. I look and say, is it something that is going to work, that is going to move us ahead? And I didn't agree with Governor Doyle in terms of the money he took out of the transportation fund. I didn't agree with the tuition increases. But let's put this in perspective. My job was overseeing the Department of Commerce. I was Secretary of Commerce, and I wasn't part of decision-making on all the issues that weren't directly related to commerce. And so there's many different areas that I wouldn't necessarily agree on, but I wasn't part of those.
Well, we'll go back to our callers now and take one from Justin in Green Bay. Hi, Justin.
Hi, Ms. Burke. As an independent, I'm kind of on the fence, and one of my major issues would be the concealed carry. Not really concerned on what your viewpoint on it is, but would you consider repealing it or leave it as it is? Thank you.
Justin, I'm glad you asked that because I support Second Amendment rights, and I think Wisconsin's concealed carry law is fine at the point at which it was passed. We were one of only two states in the country that didn't allow it. And so I don't think that this gets in the way of making sure that we do keep guns out of the hands of those who are mentally ill and criminals. And so I do want to work with law enforcement. I do have the support and endorsement of the 10,000 members of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. And I want to make sure that people feel safe and are safe. And that's whether your parents and your kids are going off to a movie theater, whether you're in your own home, whether your kids are on the playground. And so I support those rights to bear arms and for concealed carry. But I do want to be clear that I do want to make sure that people feel safe and we keep firearms out of the hands of those who are mentally ill and criminals.
All right. Thank you for the call, Justin. And next we go to Pat in Barneveld. Hi, Pat.
Hi. My question is, I think property taxes in Wisconsin are absurd, and I want to know what the candidate will do to lower those property taxes, because as well as the caller before, I'm an independent as well. Thank you.
Pat, I'll tell you, I'm right there with you. I'll tell you, I think anyone who gets that bill in December sort of has a little bit of a sticker shock, and property taxes are high here. We need to look, and I'm going to work, I'll say right off the bat, I am going to work to reduce property taxes. The thing is, we have to understand what property taxes are funding. They're funding our schools, and they're funding our local communities in terms of shared services, your snow plowing, your streets, your police, your fire. And so what I want to do is to be able to greater support education on the state level so that it doesn't fall so heavily on property tax holders. And what we have seen is that the state has been declining their share of education. In fact, just in this school year alone, actually, the under Governor Walker's budget, 200 school districts across the state. So nearly half of them, 46% of the school districts, actually saw their state aid cut. And in many of those school districts, enrollments actually increased or stayed the same, but yet state support went down. And this was a compromise. Actually, Governor Walker's budget would have had less money going into public education. And this was sort of a compromise, and still 200 school districts saw that cut. What that does is it kicks the can. It basically passes the buck to local school districts and local property tax holders to be able to continue to provide quality education. So I believe our schools, our local communities, municipalities, they need to be accountable, need to be efficient and economical, accountable to taxpayers. But it makes it harder and harder when the state support is declining and the state isn't doing their fair share. So we need to be able to prioritize and support our communities in our state budget, which then helps to lower or reduce or hold down those property taxes.
Great. Well, thank you for that call. And we're going to move on to an environmental question next. One issue we've been tracking here regularly on Central Time is frac sand mining in the state. Now, the industry is booming, but it's been carrying controversy with it. Would you seek additional regulations on the industry?
What we need to do is, first of all, I do want to make sure that local communities are able to set the type of regulations that they feel is necessary, that local elected officials have that flexibility. What we saw in the last legislative session was actually some movement to try to take away some of the local control permits them to regulate some of the mining industry. But some of that regulation is just not feasible by local governments. Things when you talk about monitoring air quality and setting what the standard should be for that. I want to make sure that people in our communities feel that their water, that their air is safe. And so those are areas we should look at, whether that is something that the state should get involved in order to protect that. But I feel that we can balance job creation and still have safe communities with regards to our air and our water. But right now, it's sort of the Wild West out there.
Now, lastly, I want to ask you about the polarization in the state. We talked about that a bit. And the political division extends to the legislature as well. Republicans and Democrats and the Assembly have grown increasingly estranged. We've seen long-term senators stepping down from their positions, citing polarization, a toxic atmosphere in the state legislature. What specific steps would you take as we wrap up now in order to address and improve that culture?
Day one, I'm going to sit down with the Republican leadership in the legislature, talk about how we can find common ground. I think that we can. I have already sat down, this was maybe 6 months ago, I did outreach to Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, WMC, probably Governor Walker's biggest supporter in the state of Wisconsin. But I wanted to sit down and to see whether we could find common ground. And I walked away after an hour cup of coffee and said, I believe that we can. And so that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a real effort and a real tone that says, hey, we're going to move forward as a state when we put the divisiveness aside, we find the common ground and we work together. We're Wisconsinites first and foremost. We're actually on the same team. Sometimes I think the politicians forget that.
We leave it there. Mary, thank you for joining us today.
Hey, thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Mary Burke is a Democratic candidate for governor. If you missed any of this forum, we'd like to hear it again or hear the conversations we had yesterday with the third-party gubernatorial candidates, Dennis Fehr and Robert Burke. Head on over to wisconsinvote.org. You'll also find the audio from these interviews and get information on our upcoming forums as well.